thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen.
That's been the Talos of Tech podcast.
Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Woo! All right, I'll see you guys
later.
We
needed to do a show where we, as quickly as possible, covered all of the exciting new updates with Apple this week.
I think we did that just fine.
And we did. We covered everything that happened, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I tried pretty hard last week to not talk about my MacBook too much.
Oh.
That ugly, but I think we're due for another MacBook show.
That other a piece of ugly garbage I see.
I was supposed to get my MacBook Pro today. I got it 2 days ago.
So you've ordered one.
Ooh, he ordered
one. You got it.
He got it?
You didn't even order one on the last podcast. We missed you.
I ordered it. I don't remember
when
I ordered it.
He's just deeply confused right now. That's all.
I don't remember, but they said I was supposed to get it before Christmas. And then I got a text message from Apple saying,
it is before Christmas.
We're billing you.
That's correct.
Well, I was supposed to get it on the 23rd, they said. But they're like, all right, we're going to bill you. And immediately I got an Apple Pay charge. And I was like, ooh. That means they're about to do it. Like, make my order or ship it out within 12 hours.
Hold on, Apple. I wasn't ready for you to take all the money in my bank account. Jeez.
Within 12 hours.
That was quick.
I had a tracking number sent to me. He's like, your product has been shipped. Like, oh. So I'm and it said it should arrive December 3rd on a Friday. I'm like, oh, cool.
Ooh.
The very next day, you got a product. You got a package waiting for you at the Dropbox. I'm like,
so, Randy, tell me,
you'll have to remind
tell
me
how is this 13-inch M1 MacBook Pro that you purchased?
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to remind me what specs you got, because I can't recall what you
agreed
to. I got
a space gray.
Ooh, that looks so pretty.
It is pretty, because it's thin, it only has two ports.
It's a MacBook Air. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember when Steve Jobs Air. Went like this? Steve Jobs did. I'm Steve Jobs in it. Wait. I'm showing it for
you
the,
need to pull
well,
it out of
the
envelope.
You guys see the thing that
envelope.
The OBS is seeing right now. I am filming on the MacBook Pro. 14.
Me too.
So that makes
we're at
me 66% the only one here
MacBook.
Without the ugly computer. I am upset.
I called Nick last night and he goes, I said, hey Nick, how does the webcam look? And he hung up on me. And then he texted me. He hung up on me and he said, I don't want to be inside that disgusting thing.
Fact check true.
You're not actually. I've been... Group FaceTime has been very buggy for me whenever I do stuff with OBS, so I do all my FaceTime calls off the iPad. Mm. But I've discovered after doing a collab with Planet Text, it's just FaceTime. Hmm. It's not when the webcam is used by two applications, because I opened OBS and Skype, and I've never had an issue.
Mm.
It'll work fine with Skype, but if I use FaceTime, it bugs out and freaks out. So, Apple. It just works.
No, it just works. No offense to you guys, but I care more about how it looks on OBS's side, and if I'm coming in and out, I would just say it's calling it even for us getting the star linking from Drew. So if it happens on FaceTime, fine, but OBS was the concern. So I did a dry run very quick last night, and it looked good. So I'm doing the Drew experiment about how this would look in the event that I can work remotely, which might happen in the next 2 months. For a little bit. So
are you using the MacBook microphone?
Yes, sir.
66%.
Oh, no.
We're all shot on Mac.
And
show.
I definitely didn't just pixelate both of your video quality for the rest of the show.
So I'm the guy who was always promoting film on the iPhone, do this, and then I was like, wait a minute. Now I got to see what a MacBook Pro device is going to do for professionals. So this is a dry run. If Morrison could do it with Phil Schiller, then shoot, we could do it here amongst us, amongst friends. So I wanted to give it a go.
Wait, we're friends still?
Nick, you need to get... Barely.
Barely.
Nick, you need to get the old filmed with, edited with animation and then just change it to MacBook Pro at the end instead of iPad Pro.
That'd be great.
So I guess I got rid of that a while ago. Huh, that's no longer in the outro.
Well, because you don't use an iPad anymore. This is back when Nick was
on
iPad.
I need to say 13-inch MacBook Pro with filmed with, edited with, made with, touch bar.
Touch bar.
Touch bar. Just shot on touch bar. Exactly.
My findings on the MacBook, after using it for a couple days, I can say that this is probably the greatest screen I've ever used.
Ooh.
Same.
Ooh.
Yep.
Those are high accolades because we both stared deep into the abyss of the 6K Pro Display XDR.
Yes.
It's like, what is the name?
With 60 hertz and only 500 dimming zones.
But it had over 1,600 nits of blooming in your face brightness.
Blooming.
So does this.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Still ugly computer.
Nits. I think I'll say still ugly computer.
I'm going to send in the group chat. I sent this to Nick so he can understand why this is a great product. So I want you to take a look at it. This was from last night, Drew. You can see the difference between my professional LG monitor that is 1440 and now as opposed to the clarity that you see on the MacBook Pro.
The dynamic range is very noticeable in that shot.
It's
also,
so
Nick's
clean.
Face is hilarious.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm used to what you see with the fogginess of it, okay? The fogginess of the LG screen is, or I'm calling it fog. That's something I've just been so used to seeing because it has this like matte finish to it, which would cost extra if you wanted to get that on the Pro XDR display. Trying it on now, looking at this screen, the MacBook's screen. Oh my God, inky blacks and just the brightness, the contrast ratio of the whole thing is amazing. Mm-hmm. With that, I cannot tell the difference with the Pro Motion right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's less motion on Mac in general. I understand why.
I'm moving my mouse and I'm zigzagging it so it can blow up. And I can see it. I know what it's doing. But then when I move it up to this monitor, I do the same thing. There's an indifference. I care more about it with a touch interface. The touch interface makes a difference. With a mouse, I can see the monitor of what's happening on the the cam, the FaceTime cam, and videos are still at 60 frames for when I playback. So honestly, I don't really care about that. So if it came with 60 hertz, I would have been like, yeah, all right, fine, whatever. Why this is the greatest?
Me too, for the record. I still needed one. It wasn't a must have, but it was a nice to have.
It's a nice to have. I think more so just for bragging rights, it's nice to have. But the clarity, it's the clarity. I'm looking at my dock right now, and these colors just, I feel like I could just peel them off the screen and put them on my skin or something. Like it's so clean. And
so you noticed the mini LED stuff
immediately,
much more.
I didn't even think I was going to. This was something. I care more about the rounded corners and the uniformed bezel that we have hugging, and we get to the little notch with the camera because it's a non-issue. If you would take this screen on the 14 16 inch and put it on the 13 inch MacBook Pro with the touch bar, Nick would have everything. Like, this would be Nick's dream device because I think the display alone sells it. Pixel peeping and all, Nick, you would love it because we're going to convince him to get a MacBook
Pro. But he doesn't like the ports.
No, I love the display. I love the notch. I honestly wish the notch was bigger and more intrusive just to be extra iconic. Like, if it would be twice as deep and just narrower, just cut even more into your
or just right in the middle.
Just, yeah,
the
center notch.
The ports are so non-existent for you, Nick. The display alone is going to take away any qualms that you have about anything else. MagSafe is strong. It's a good click. I remember getting it. I love it. For the record, I'm still using my dongle because I have a USB-A hard drive and a USB-A to USB-B for my MIDI keyboard for music. So
what are the specs? You plugged in a hard drive. Which M1 chip did you get? What storage configuration? RAM?
Yes.
Right. Yes, he got it.
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to see what it would say when I go to the overview, but it doesn't tell you about the M1. Okay.
I've still not used a single dongle with mine, or used the HDMI port a single time.
I've dongled and HDMI'd it all up. I'm plugged in because I was like, let's get to work, baby. But I've now, as you can see in the photo that I shared, this is my new dual screen that I just drag up and down, and this is my. Control center or mission, what's that? What are they called? The mission, whatever. That's right here. When I stream and everything, it's all done right here. And then the big screen right here is what everybody will see. And I've completely I've completely fired this thing. This thing is pointless now. You're fired.
Exactly.
It's fired. So, specs. I have the maxed out M1 Pro.
Okay.
I got the maxed out M1 Pro because...
Does that mean 32 gigs of RAM?
I have 32 gigs of RAM.
Okay, gotcha.
32 gigs of RAM, and I got the highest tier M1 Pro.
16-core GPU, 10-core CPU. Okay.
Yes. 4 terabytes of SSD.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Pretty all out with it.
I did. Okay, so I did not go with 8 terabytes for a...
financial.
Yeah, game.
You got $1,200 now.
and that $1,200 was well spent elsewhere.
So, yes, that's fair.
It was a practicality. I'm not offloading my hard drives, externals that I have. So if I need to access certain files that I know are back on the back burner of things, they're living on there. It's no longer a necessity.
Four terabytes is a lot. That's 8 times. Your last Mac. That's still a big upgrade.
My last 2 Macs.
So, yeah, you don't have to justify it. That's plenty of storage. I'm just the crazy guy who went overkill on mine.
I heard that the hint of regret in your voice when you talked about it, and I was like, yeah, I don't think I need that. And that was the most expensive piece element to the MacBook Pro purchase, and I could have found a way to justify it, but I can easily justify saving $1,200 and reallocating it elsewhere. Yes. Just because I built up a threshold, like I wasn't going to go over $5,000, doesn't mean I would like to spend the whole $5,000. If I can repurpose, I would.
Ideally less.
Yeah. The RAM, I think 16 would have been fine, but the RAM was more critical for me. In all the
multi future proofing
than it would be the storage, because the storage I can always offload. The biggest thing about the storage are my Logic project files, that some of them are 13 gigabytes per file, and those are big numbers. And let alone when I use Logic for like when I was doing podcasting outside of our thing, that eats up a lot of things too. So I moved those files off. I have a well-proofed or well-future-proofed local hard drive that's going on. Mm-hmm. So my rule of thumb was, can I take out everything in iCloud photos, bring it to the local desktop, and do that twice and still have room? If I do, then I'm good. And I do. So my biggest space eater are my photos and my videos in iCloud. I'd fight to keep it at 200 gigabytes all the time because I don't want to pay $10 a month for 2 terabytes. But that's my gauge. That's how I'm able to tangibly gauge something is, okay, where am I sitting at with my photos? Because that's a little bit more daily if I'm taking photos or videos. Can I offload and have more than enough room? 4 terabytes was not going to be an issue then at that point. So I stepped down a bit where I'm good enough for at least... I'm confident 3 to 5 years easy. I don't see an issue with that.
Me too. People keep trying to bait me into saying I'll upgrade for such and such. No. I keep saying, nope.
No, you won't.
People are like, what if the iMac Pro has 2 M1 Max chips? I'm like,
you're not doing it.
It's already stupid fast. I don't need it to be double stupid fast.
People who tell you this, Drew, are people who have not been around when you first got the iMac Pro the first time around, which was a stopgap for everybody. So,
I think the difference is the iMac Pro didn't have like a replacement that came out relatively soon. It was kind of, even by the M1, unbeatable up until recently.
Yeah.
For the value. I mean, you could beat it with the Mac Pro, but you were going to spend $50,000.
Right.
Or you could, I guess some of the 27 inch iMacs were coming close, but yeah, the IO was worse and the cooling system
was years later.
Yeah.
That's true.
True.
And this will be beat, for the record. There will be an M2 Max, I'm sure, that will beat out this chip. But the example I keep saying is, on average, with this export, now I've been using high power mode all the time, and it's like, oh my god. But on average, I've shaved like 15 minutes off of every export I do. And now all of my exports are usually less than 10 minutes. So even if exports were instant, that wouldn't be as big a jump. It would still be a smaller overall jump in how much time can I save on a Big Mac that I buy that replaces this one. So yeah. I'm not trying to say I'm going to keep it forever and hold on to it for a long time, because I don't believe you can get faster than the M1 Max. I know you can. It's just the money it would take to get faster would not warrant. It would not
your
save
next
much time. So that's
hurdle why you need to get over is your upload speeds. That's going to be the real bottleneck now, is upload speeds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that I'm trying not to get. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you say that because it's like, sure, it'd be nice if Starlink got way faster with the new laser sats, and it would also be nice if some fiber company came in and offered really cheap fiber where I am. But the thing is, with our plans of traveling, that's kind of the reason I went in on the laptop to take it with me. I need to kind of get used to my work schedule and used to my live streaming and daily routine with not so great internet speeds, because that's often going to be the case if I'm working away from home. So it's like, yeah, it would be nice to have the fiber, but I'm not going to act like I can take that with me everywhere I go. Actually, Starlink would be the best chance of having good internet everywhere I go, but they don't support that just yet. I think they've started saying in the app, it says you can change your service address now.
Yeah.
But it just says no promise of service. They won't guarantee you service anywhere you go, but they are building in the setting of like, where are you now? And you can take it, but right now it's just saying you're only guaranteed service at your current location. But as years go by, I'm sure it'll get faster and work anywhere. So, but I would also really like the smaller square one to take with me, because the big one is kind of drilled in and we have the wiring all hidden on our house. I don't want to have to yank all that out. The new one has the removable cable, so you could buy another cable that you leave at home and then take one cable on trips and the dish. So Starlink's probably my best bet at having like fast internet anywhere. So I'm glad I have it, but yeah, there's bottleneck is definitely upload for now. It's not there's no use spending more money on a Mac, knowing it's this iMac Pro coming with, if it is a dual M1 Max chip, I don't think there's much evidence it will be. But if it is, granted, the cheapest M1 Max chip was, I think, $3,000 in any MacBook. Like, to get it in the 14-inch MacBook Pro, default is like $3,000.
Mm.
Which means the iMac Pro that has all this fancy stuff would easily be $7,000-$8,000, which I'm not willing to spend. Yeah. So.
Where I was getting at with the upload speeds, though, is what I'm saying is that like your issue is no longer with the hardware that you have.
There's nothing wrong with the computer.
Which is why I'm
my big bottleneck is not bottleneck, but convenience thing that I'm actually more in the market for is a monitor. And like you talked about how great the screen is, and I agree with you, this is the best screen on anything I've ever used. All TVs, I've seen the Pro Display. And I do notice the 120 hertz every time my iMac Pro. Me and my wife had a long talk about what to do with this thing, because it's kind of pointless. But it's basically turned into office the YouTube heater. Machine.
Oh.
It's a good office heater. Yeah. Intel should make more space heaters. They'd be good at it.
Oh.
Imagine, okay, free business idea, Intel. You make your stupid i9 architecture or whatever, you put it into a thing with a big fan, like a little personal space heater, heats up your room, but it's also mining crypto in the background.
Ooh.
That feeds that's how the CPU gets hot.
Ooh.
it's mining, which is currency that can go back to you. Again, this would be a tiny insignificant amount of crypto, but if people need heaters and you're selling crap that gets too hot, this thing does not get hot. Although, I was grateful we had 8 terabytes when we filmed the Series 7 review. That was a crap ton of footage.
Ooh.
That was very high bit rate. And we maxed out the fans on this thing.
Was that ProRes or God. ProRes RAW? Or Red RAW?
It was red.
Red Raw or Red?
Red Raw.
Ooh, yeah, can
red
we raw. Shout out really Ooh. Quickly?
Cool.
Drew did a little outdoorsy moving around.
Yeah.
There was a level of Snazzy Labs, Nikias. Like, there's a little bit of all these other guys. And I was like, hey, look at this guy. And then he just, spoiler alert, Nick, because I'm assuming you didn't watch it. He ends up by turning around and just running away from the camera. And I was like, all right. So... fun stuff.
Yeah, the audio was all messed up, but
yeah, whatever. It was a good test.
It wasn't. People kept saying you're going for such and such. You look like MAC address. You look like Tom Scott. You look like that. It wasn't my idea.
Drew
Ross just bought
Tom Scott. I want to see this. So we're here at Apple Park.
Ross just welcome back.
Good morning.
He bought this body gimbal that has these two arms that hold the whole thing, and He like put it on and he tried it and he was like, I want to film something with this. Do you have a video we can do where I can test out my gimbal and I could walk around with it? And I was like, I haven't reviewed my watch yet and I kind of have everything I know what I'm going to say about it done. So I guess we could film that. And I was like, if the whole thing turns to garbage and we can't use any of it, then big whoop, it's the Series 7 review.
Nick.
It's like people know how I feel. So
imagine where when they do a keynote and they put people at random spots and they're just kind of walking around. Good morning. Today I am so excited to announce that the Series 7 is probably the best Apple Watch I would ever need in a long time. Yeah, I was like, all right, this is cool. And to be honest, I didn't know it was red. But not in a bad way. I cheated. I cheated. I looked at the resolution. I was like, oh, he's trying ProRes on the iPhone again because it was not 60 frames. So I cheated to see what was he doing. And in my mind, oh, Drew's future-proofing. He's running a test to see on the go and filming in different locations and stuff. So in my mind, I was like, this is just a cool change of like, you're keeping my eyes on the constant movement that's happening, but it was not distracting visually. So I liked it. I actually liked that video a lot. That was a good video. Audio with the cars driving by. I mean, if cars could, you know, quiet on set, you know, if the cars could just pause for a second, that would have been cool too.
He really wanted to film at that bridge. I knew it would be noisy. We had this. He brought it. His brother came along and did the shotgun microphone, so he had his headphones on and everything, so it could have been much worse is all I'll say. the fact that it came out the way it did and it was, you could actually hear what I was saying, I was surprised by, because there was a very decent chance, especially because people were shouting things as we were filming, they kept I don't even know what they were saying, but people just see big camera,
Android's
big microphone,
awesome.
I gotta honk, you know, I gotta make noises, so we had to cut a bunch of stuff out. But the fact that you could actually hear me, I was like, oh, wow. It's you can make out what I'm saying. And people are like, here's background audio. Like, okay, if we do that again, we'll do it at a quiet place in nature. But he really wanted to film at that bridge because he likes that bridge. So
good bridge.
I was like, okay, we'll film there. But it was not my idea at all. So I'll release all credits to him. Ross is the one who should be thanked. I felt weird. There were two guys that don't watch my videos standing around walking next to me and I'm going off about the Series 7 and all these features, and they're like, you know, none of them own Apple Watches, so they're listening to me say all these things and just kind of standing around. They're like, okay, I guess.
I don't know what an accelerometer means, but it seems pretty cool.
Yeah, they kept wanting me to do funny things like jump or run away or
if you jump,
I was saying
off
we should
bridge.
Have me. Yeah, I kept ending shots where I'd stop talking and then I would just take a leave on the side, or do a shot where I'm walking and I just start walking into the water at the river, and I just like start getting lower and lower.
Did I mention that it's now full waterproof and dust resistant?
Right. It was actually very cold, so maybe in summer we should do something like that. But
that's funny.
Yeah. Either way, it was the first time I heard the fans rev up on this thing. I've never heard the fans turn on for my live streams of my editing process. I've never noticed that. Any exporting high performance mode, never noticed it. But when he color corrected Red Raw in DaVinci and was re-exporting it, I'd never heard it make noises like this. It was just... It sounded like an Intel machine. And I was like, what the heck?
I filmed it, but I haven't posted it.
I mean, it was fast. It was surprising how fast it was. This is not Final Cut application off of here.
Yeah. Sorry, as someone who's curious, what were you exporting to? Was it H.264 or like MP4?
No, it was ProRes.
Okay, so it was ProRes 444?
I think it was ProRes RAW or something, okay. But...
So you did the color grading.
It was a high bit rate. It was not the low.
Yeah, so it was HQ?
We did the color grading in DaVinci, but then I told him I want to edit the whole thing in Final Cut. So he's like, okay, well, I got to re-export it through DaVinci. But the final, let me find it here, Series 7. After he exported the whole thing, it was 14 minutes and 100 gigs.
Gosh.
Wow.
So it's wow. It was pretty big. But yeah, that whole process, all the raw files as well. I think I still have them.
100 gigs. Oh my goodness!
The raw footage before it was exported, just in the Red codec, was 131 gigs. So, when you do projects like that, that's when the 8 terabytes was nice. I wasn't thinking about it, but my only tiny complaint I've had with this laptop, which is kind of fundamentally the
doesn't have a the reason it's a laptop CFast slot in it. Come on, Apple, why don't you add a CFast slot?
I thought I kept importing everything through the SD card slot, and I was like, it's kind of slow. Let me record back to CFast again. And when I tried importing at CFast, it was still just as slow. So I was like, maybe I'm used to everything else being so much faster that when I import anything and it's not like instant, I'm like, ah, dang it. But my only tiny complaint is I want a bigger screen to work with, but there's no screen that can justify or be as good as the onboard screen. So
they're all
it's
ugly.
Just the size, but
they're all ugly.
They're ugly, and in the Pro Display, even people are like, well, get a Pro Display. I'm like, that's 60 hertz, and I do notice
it's sharp corners,
and it's old.
Not even round,
right? The sharp corners, and it's also very dated technology as is, and still costs, you know, $6,000. So I don't want a Pro Display unless someone's willing to sell one for less than half the price, which I don't think is going to happen. I've looked at the used market. They're not there. But I'm fingers crossed Apple's going to make a updated version of the Pro Display with mini LED that's hopefully under $3,000. But that's probably too much wishful thinking. You know, I was actually talking with my wife about should we trade in the iMac Pro and replace it with the new iMac Pro coming out just for the screen, really, because that'll be mini LED, 120 hertz. And even if we got the base M1 Pro chip, the binned one, it'd probably be faster than the iMac Pro based on the fact that the CPU difference between M1 Pro and M1 Max is very minor. It's mostly GPU differences. So I was like, we could retain a lot of my desktop Max value if we opted it for a new iMac Pro, but ultimately the storage is the harder argument because there's 2 terabytes in my iMac Pro, and I'm pretty sure the base iMac Pro will be 512 gig, and my wife doesn't care about how fast it is or 120 hertz, and she's probably the one who's going to use it more than I am. Just as a computer for the home that we don't take with us, that's just there for, you know, web browsing, and probably treat it like a TV in the bedroom. And it's not really something, because it's not going to have 8 terabytes in it, I can't really do my daily editing on it. So kind of my iMac Pro is just in a weird place now. I don't know what to do with it. We'll probably just keep it.
I thought you were trying to sell it for the right price.
We have been. Oh. Just no one wants it. No one wants it. We've lowered the price several times and never got an offer. Not a single message of someone. Not even a lowball. No one even offering like half, which usually happens.
Is this also on Swappa as well? Are you using Swappa?
No. I don't have a good way to ship it, so I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to ship it somewhere. I'm trying to sell it locally.
I hear you.
And, the market for it is But I've been looking online at what they've been selling for, and they're not great either. So, especially now that the M1 Pro and M1 Max are out, I think everyone's kind of caught on that the iMac is going to get a refresh in the near future. So hopefully. I don't think people want to drop $2,000 on a 4-year-old iMac. Rightfully so. I wouldn't recommend someone buy it. If someone was like, I need a desktop iMac and my budget is like $2,000 or something, I'd be like, hold yourself over with a M1 refurbished Mac Mini and wait for the new iMac Pro to come out probably in like March or something in next year. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. But I needed a laptop, so I'm not like wishing I would have gotten a desktop because I couldn't take that with me. But
not just basically any laptop. The laptop,
the best one. So what would solve all my issues is just an external monitor that's as good as the screen.
Please fix that.
That would fix everything.
I hate the one that I have to look at.
It's absolutely so clean.
Didn't get into any of them.
It's just so. It has the design language of the curved edges I'm looking at. It's bright and vibrant. I wasn't thinking about that when you said it, Drew. Like, I noticed the mini LED over, I think, anything. And it's so. I want to lick it.
Wow. Have you been swayed, Nick?
Oh. No. It's still the ugliest computer ever created.
Is this
created.
The part where you hang up on me again?
This, I might just leave the call, leave the podcast. Y'all have talked me out. So remember how I said I wouldn't get one of these?
Here we go, everybody. The moment you've all been waiting for.
I told you, it's like sizzling at a fine... That thing in SpongeBob...
Just when he said, remember.
It's beautiful.
Nick's like, I've actually spent $7,000 on one already.
Yeah, no. But maybe soon. Really, I'm up in my camera game at the moment. I have
nice
parts for very expensive cameras, and they will shoot
good for
at
you.
Stuff that's similar to Red Raw. As far as gigabytes mm-hmm. per second of recording time.
Yes.
And the more I look at it, I need that M1 Max chip with the dual H.264 encoders. Like, all of the reviews that I've seen, every single test, it literally takes the time and divides it by two. Like, it's like...
Mm-hmm.
It M1, smokes M1
it.
Pro
it
chip.
It even smoked.
M1 Pro chip takes 2 minutes... M1 Max chip with the two takes 1 minute for whatever benchmark you're doing. And it's like, ooh, that seems worth it.
It even smoked Marquez's Mac Pro. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't catch that. Tell me about that.
It exported faster. So the question remains, can you live with M1 Max in a desktop? Like, can you afford to wait for that? Or is, like, what's motivating this regret? Like
this
is it that you need an M1 Max of any kind soon and that happens to be in a laptop, or do you need an M1 Max in a laptop?
I would take it in any other form than what the ugly body they've shoved it in so far.
Nice.
I would take a Mac Mini. I would take a 24-inch iMac. I would take a 27-inch iMac. I would
He's
take
buying it out of fear, MacBook not loyalty.
Okay, fine.
So... when you say soon, what do you mean by that? Like, you might have to get a MacBook Pro?
I'm fairly confident that I can get by with the M1 chip on the 13-inch MacBook Pro for a little while. It's not going to be ideal. Chopping through that footage, I've estimated will take about, 30 minutes or so for like 5 to 10-minute clips on the M1 chip, which it's a big adjustment that I'm going to have to make. But I think I can make that adjustment for a little while. But yeah, I'm thinking probably around the springtime. I'm going to hold out until Apple's spring event, and I'm really holding out hope that we get some kind of other Mac with the M1 Pro Max M1 Max chip. Why is this name so confusing? I don't know. The M1 Max chip in the MacBook Pro.
So you'd take it as a desktop if you
I would take it as a desktop. I would take it as a box. I would take it with in a mouse. I would take it in a house.
I will not eat it with a box. I will not eat it in a box.
Yes.
Because I would advocate buy a MacBook Pro with M1 Max, the cheapest one you can, and treat it like it's a Mac Mini. You know, just
I might fold end up doing up, that. Shove it underneath my desk.
Use HDMI port and just
so use my to a monitor. So I only have to use one port.
And use your. You can use MagSafe and keep it plugged in where you can't see it. It's under a desk, and you can use Universal Control to control it from your M1 MacBook Pro with touch bar.
Ooh, actually, that might be a good way to get the touch bar back. Yeah,
that's how you keep the touch bar but have the power and just pretend it's not a laptop. Basically,
there you go. Yeah, I don't know. That's a distinct possibility, but I don't know. Slowly coming to the realization that I need the M1 Max.
Is there
Max
a time
chip.
Limit? Like, it's within a certain... Like, if there's no M1 Max new computers at the spring event, does that mean you'll have to hopefully certified refurbish MacBook Pro, of course?
I don't know. I haven't given it that much thought. I've kind of come to the realization, like, you know how... Everyone in 2016, when Apple updated the MacBook Pros and did the design that I prefer, all the pros were like, "Oh, it's ugly. Where are the ports? This touch bar is dumb. I need my function keys. It's terrible." But they still bought it.
I was there.
The pros still bought it. The pros still used it to do their editing.
That's outrageous.
If you needed the power, that was the place to get it at the time. The i7 with the extra GPU. Like, if you needed the portable power, that's how you got it. I'm feeling like I'm in the same situation where I hate the design, but it has the power. And so if it comes down to me needing the power, I guess I need to get it. Really don't want to, though. It's so ugly. Every time I see it, I barf in my mouth. It's like, ports? Why are we going back to ports? USB-C everything, please, Tim Apple.
I'm surprised how much I still miss the touch bar, I'll be honest.
Thank you.
Friend's house the other day, and they had an older MacBook Pro with a touch bar, and they were doing this little trivia game for everybody, and they needed help with it, so I used it for a second, and the touch bar had all the options changing depending on the windows, and I was like,
I'm so disappointed in you, Drew.
I was not on that camp of like, oh, don't get rid of my function keys.
I'm speaking for Scott right now. I'm so disappointed.
I think we just saw different things, because for Scott, it seemed, and everybody, it seemed to crash and be unresponsive, and I was like, if you really want the function keys, you can turn it back at any time. It's not a deal breaker for me, but I'm not willing to keep the M1 just for the touch bar, but still, if they would have kept it, I would have loved it, but it's okay.
Can't still miss what fast. I never had. And it sounds like...
You're... lucky.
Yeah, like it sounds like I'm in a better place for it because you guys look so pitiful right now.
We're so depressed. It's very sad.
Mm. No, Drew sees the value of this, of everything else that comes with it, and soon you will too, Nick.
I like options. I really would have loved it if they were like function keys for free, and then if you want the touch bar, spend an extra $300. I would have done it. I would have spent the extra $300 because I do see value in it, and I like the slider. And I honestly don't use a lot of the buttons up here, like dictation.
Here's the thing, though. It would require a whole new layout on the keys, too, because now they're full-size keys again. Nick brought up a good point to me offline, allegedly, that the reason why this failed is because they never pursued the next version of the touch bar. They stopped. And that's on Apple. I'm not going to
talk about that.
I'm not saying, like, USB-C, all things is maybe all these other companies' faults for not converting, but the touch bar's on Apple.
Including Apple.
Yeah. Touch bar's 100% on Apple.
They didn't push USB-C or touch bar hard enough to commit to it.
I guess.
But they kept going halvesy on it. They're like, some function key stuff, but...
If they would have elaborated and really evolved that concept... to a potential that things are they'll adjust to the needs of whatever application that you're using on a macOS environment, maybe it would have had a different outcome. Maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But the fact that they were getting so much negative heat, so much bad PR with the the butterfly keyboard, the USB-C, the touch bar, people
throttling all the thermal issues.
People, the way I described it to Nick is, people, it's like a dirty diaper they couldn't get rid of, and they're like, I don't want this thing. And so there was just so much following it and the stigma. And smart PR is, well, Intel had some problems themselves, but with our new line, now we're doing scissors keyboard, now we're doing MagSafe, now we're doing all these other things that we couldn't do with the Intel, which I think is baloney, but if they could make a scapegoat, hey, that's genius
marketing.
It just
wasn't possible.
Yeah.
MagSafe on it.
Given
Intel
everything
Mac
else that had happened with the MacBook branding over the last 6 years, I think they were too timid to try new things again, because USB-C, all things, butterfly keyboard, touch bar, throttling, that's something else. But the other, like, tangibles, they were like, oh, man, people are complaining. Every year they're complaining. So the market spoke, and the market's speaking right now.
I also think it could be a change in leadership. You know, we lost Phil Schiller, who can't innovate the Mac Pro.
Yeah.
And he was involved in a lot of the Mac development, and I'm sure Johnny was too.
Yeah.
And they're both gone. And we're seeing a very noticeable shift, I think, because of that leadership that was going more for design symmetry and future standards adopting. But now that they're gone, they seem to be like, well, you know, HDMI is kind of useful. And MagSafe's kind of nice, and we don't need it to be that thin. You know, who cares? Let's just make it thick. So I think there's new leadership involved, and they're kind of catering towards a demographic that wasn't catered to previously. So
you think that's a good thing?
Might be that. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Depends on definition of good.
It's better good than it was?
I still would say, for the record, I would have bought the exact same Mac with the exact same price if it still had only USB-C, just Thunderbolt, no SD, no HDMI, no MagSafe. I still would have bought it if it had a touch bar and butterfly keys. I didn't hate the butterfly keys. Everyone else did, but I was fine with them. I would have bought it all with all the old stuff, but I was really just looking for a faster chip. Yeah. That was the driving force. But I guess you could argue, if Apple finds a way to cater to both and kind of compromise a bit to where the people who loved the old design that was all USB-C and touch bar and everything can still appreciate and enjoy the new design, like myself. There's things I miss, but I still like it. But they can also please the demographics that were annoyed. That may result in better sales, better revenue. So you could argue that that's a good thing, that they're listening to a wider range of users. But if your definition of good is more based on, like, progress and development on new standards, and, you know, are we moving forward with I/O? Are we moving forward with keyboard and trackpad input, or are we just going backwards and saying, the old-fashioned way is fine, we don't need to change it, we don't need touch bars, we don't need new keyboard designs, we don't need just Thunderbolt ports, we also want all the legacy ports. I could see why people would look at it as a regression, and just kind of an admit to defeat, an admit of fault. In some ways,
I want to push back on good, that, but just for a second, a tad bit. I want to push back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this, what appears to be a regression, it really isn't, because there's still faster ports, Thunderbolt 4, you know? Like, we are still getting the latest and greatest. You have a Touch ID sensor now.
For forever, though.
I mean, we're looking at getting that Face ID, too.
Yeah.
But where I'm getting at is
it has a feature that's been around since 2016.
on a Mac device, this medium of what we use is not meant to move forward in that sense. It's portables, mm-hmm. it's iPhones, it's watches, it's glasses, it's everything else that everything else. It's the metaverse now, evidently. That has nothing to do with a desktop or a laptop. And just like we have the perfect why foldables won't work out and a regular flat screen is the pinnacle of that design, we found that right fit with the Mac, or let me rephrase, with laptops and desktops, with the proper mm-hmm. QWERTY keyboard, a mouse, or trackpad if you prefer. And we're just perfecting those things instead of moving it forward when this medium isn't the demographic anymore. The MacBook, laptop, PC, iMac, those aren't the major sales for Apple. They're not the major sales for any Windows device. It's all smartphones and stuff. And eventually, I suspect in the next 5 to a decade, years, the iPhone will, or the smartphone will also have a similar stagnation because of wearables and portables. If every company, if all these people...
What do you mean in 5 years? We're there now.
the stagnation of that, but I'm saying
smartphone
that because...
Smartphone stagnation.
What's going to replace it? What's going to replace... If the iPhone replaced the Mac, wearables are going to replace the iPhone. And if the most powerful companies in the world that arguably have more power than governments are all saying this metaverse thing, then there'll be a time where we move away from iPhones and smartphones as a whole. So I think the Mac didn't regress. I think it's perfecting what its purpose is. And for professionals specifically, they don't mm-hmm. care about the bells and whistles as they, like you said, just give me the best chip. You're going to get my money off the chip. And that's what Apple leaned in on. Here's the best chip we can make. And people are saying that they want more ports. Here's more ports. And here's also still USB-C Thunderbolt, if that's what you want as well. So, and here's the best display we've ever made.
Mm-hmm. No, they went all out. I don't think we'll get a MacBook upgrade this major again in a long, long time. Possibly ever. But I've got two controversial statements I'll add to that. I think the smartphone will stay until we have Neuralink, which I don't think is soon.
Okay.
I think Neuralink is decades away, 30, 40, 50 years easily. But I can't imagine another form factor replacing the phone other than something that connects to your brain directly, which again, I'm not saying that's a couple of years away. That's long term. I won't have to worry about that. I'll be an old retired geezer by the time Neuralink starts becoming a consumer based thing, not just like a neurological disease cure. But when it comes to Apple refining and moving standards forward and trying to make the best of the best tech, I think the controversial statement I'll throw out there is the next iPad I buy will need to replace my Mac. I won't buy another iPad, assuming this one doesn't get like destroyed or stolen.
Right.
That doesn't count. But like, assuming this doesn't get destroyed or stolen, I'm going to keep it until Apple makes an iPad that can do everything this current Mac can, plus everything an iPad can. That's the only thing I could see myself wanting to upgrade from this MacBook for, is if Apple started on a roadmap or started making hardware that said, this can do the job of both.
Yeah.
Because that's a fairly frustrating ecosystem I have right now. I have to keep the iPad around for the thumbnails, and I got to keep the Mac around for the performance and Final Cut. And even if we got dual boot macOS like I wanted, or they bring Final Cut or OBS or variable... webcam and stuff to the iPad, it still would just be capped at M1. I want M1 Max or better now. So I've seen Apple throw overkill silicon in the iPad before. It's reasonable to assume they'll do it again, but basically my Apple dream device concept I did is kind of, I think, what a good scenario for Nick as well, because he likes the touch bar.
Yeah.
With the iPad plus Magic Keyboard combo, you kind of can get that back.
You do, kind of.
with the sidecar approach. Sidecar still supports the touch bar even on this MacBook Pro,
that
which
is
I
nice.
Find funny.
That is very nice.
So you'd have your physical keys and then a touch bar that's maybe not flat with the keys, but it's right there. And I want at least 3 or 4 Thunderbolt ports on the iPad. And I'm okay if they only do 2 because you would have the Magic Keyboard case to charge through for power. And a bigger screen, of course, would be nice. But then I could have my Face ID, my center stage, and I could detach it and go back into tablet mode and use a pencil when I need to. Like, that device would get me to upgrade and replace both of these products. But until that device happens, I have a very hard time justifying any upgrades. Like, I buy this new MacBook Pro, Drew, because it's a bit faster, or the notch is a little bit smaller or something minor like that. Even Face ID would be nice, but I unlock with my watch anyway, so.
I like that controversial stance. let me, you said you want to add on to the controversial. Let me add on to that controversial. I think
something like political and.
Oh no! I think your timeline is
not related
is off.
To tech.
Enough. I think that Jeffrey Epstein did kill himself.
Oh my 50 God. Minutes and
dude,
50
the whole
seconds.
Last show, Nick was like, "No, we can't say that." But now Nick's the one.
The main show where we get all the views and downloads. He's over here going to start. Epstein like, up the place.
That Nick is a loose cannon. He'll just say anything.
That's my middle name. Nick Loose Cannon Sweeney.
Man, they suicided right. the heck out of him.
What's the... The fact that we find that funny and yet that's what the media portrayed is.
And I'm over here like, anyway. Oh, we're in trouble. Okay, anyway. So, I think your timeline's off.
Okay.
Just about the iPhone, you're like, it's going to be a long time for smartphones to be replaced. Look how quickly that tech, when it compounds, how quickly we got to the iPhone and how long how short it overtook laptops and desktops. Tech just compounds that quickly. I don't think we're that far away from a post-smartphone era. I want to go as far as saying Neuralink, though. That's a fun one, though.
The phones are used for way more than any other device in history has ever been used for.
Yes.
Like, it's used for cameras, it's used for calls, communication, social media, it's used for work, it's used for
And now we're all
going to
have that
content.
With our glasses, sunglasses.
They can't replace everything, though. You can't replace FaceTime calls, you can't replace photography, you can't replace selfies, you can't replace the keyboard as easily, and you can't replace
Say that
the ease
to the
of,
Snapchat
let me show you this.
Goggles that they had. They were.
I will. That no one buys? Yeah.
With those vending machines everywhere?
Yeah.
Just sitting there?
There's too many use cases of phones that I can't picture how glasses or a watch could replace it all. There's things they help the phone do, and I'm excited for AR glasses. I think that's something we will see within a decade, but I do not see it as a phone replacement. It's a phone extension. I think people had the same mistake with watches before the Apple Watch came out. Everyone was saying, oh, this is the next thing. This is what phones will be useless in the future, and we'll just have watches. It's like, no, they're a helpful addition, but they don't replace it. And I know it's boring to imagine just more and more thin, basic-looking phones, all these glass rectangles. No, I don't think it's foldables. I don't think that's going to change anything. It's just going to be a rich niche. Case in point, Randy's Z Flip story, which was hilarious.
To recap, if anybody missed it, my mother-in-law got a foldable
Z Flip.
The Z Flip. Not because she wanted it, but because she had an S8. Because
she didn't want it. That's why she got it.
It died. She went to a store, and she said, give me a Galaxy phone that you have. And the only
they didn't
thing,
have anything.
The only thing they had in stock was the Z Flip. And she goes, all right.
People will buy foldables when there's nothing left.
It's like, I need a phone right now. I need one right now. Give me what you got.
You need a phone right now. There's lots of foldables because they keep making them and no one buys them. So it's like Nick said, people get a Bolt, but they don't want a Bolt. people get foldables.
Yep.
Yep. This excludes the tech community. That doesn't count. Tech community will buy a foldable just because it's not a normal glass rectangle, They think that's cool, but that doesn't make it.
This is the same community that will buy a 2015 12-inch MacBook just because they miss it, not because they really need it. Right, Nick?
Oh, yeah. I definitely didn't buy one, and I definitely don't use it on a regular basis.
Same community that converts an M1 Mac Mini just to put it in a queue because it's cool.
Oh, yeah. Not because he needs it, but because he uses
it
every day.
But heaven forbid we say, hey, Nick, here's a great chip in this laptop.
Okay, what I will say.
Look at all those ports.
What I will say about the chip, if I could get a quad max chip with like four M1 maxes, I would seriously consider going into significant amounts of debt for that, because
that's a Mac Pro.
And
we're pretty confident.
If we have one of those quad M1 max chips with eight
Nick.
Hardware video accelerators.
Nick, he says, so seriously consider going into serious debt. Nick, I don't give financial advice. I'm going to give financial advice right now. Do not do that.
But it's for
get the
work,
Apple card.
Randy. I
do.
Can write it off in my taxes.
Put
Isn't
it on
there
the Apple
a,
card and get some money back. And that's not how that works.
Yeah, 0% APR on certain.
Yeah,
Apple
if it's 0% APR, that means you have to pay back 0% of it, right?
Nick.
Exactly. I think that's how it works.
I'm going to Andy Dwyer it for a second. I got my interest rate is 12%.
Thinking,
that's one of the highest you can get.
I'm actually really curious. We don't talk about the new Mac Pro a lot, but
I'm actually
really curious
legitimately
to see how
excited
they price
about
it.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
it should be the fastest computer
ever. It should be the fastest computer ever that you can just buy and not have to, you know, custom build with 80 GPUs tied together.
Yeah, there's faster supercomputers
that
companies have.
Yeah, the Doge computer or
but,
whatever, but like...
Yeah. As far as a computer, you go on a website and put an order in and it shows up
exactly.
in the mail.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the fastest. It'll likely be smaller than the cheese grater.
Yeah. Could you imagine like a Mac Mini-sized one? Ooh. I'm just sticking in my cube.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, what if I could mod it into my cube? Oh
my. But no, I do think the same report that came forward with the specs of the M1 Pro and M1 Max, which ended up being correct, within that same report was the Mac Pro rumor, which was that it was going to be M1 Max dies attached, and the base model would be like two M1 Maxes, and then there would be a higher tier that was four.
Yeah.
So I
did read those reports.
I'm not
too.
Saying confirmed, but I am saying it's
you say
fairly likely
trust
that
the leakers,
you know,
Drew. We don't do that at Taylor.
I'm just
so
saying
tech.
This one is this one makes the most amount of sense.
It does.
I have a hard time understanding why it would be wrong, because it's like, okay, Mac Pro's got to be faster than the laptops. They haven't transitioned it yet.
And at that point, would it be worth me not getting the ugly computer, the ugly laptop? And saving my pennies and waiting until the end of the year for that. Could I wait 12 months for an 8-core max chip? Or an 8 max, 4 core, 4 max, 8.
It would be a 128 core GPU.
Oh, gosh, guys.
And 64 high performance.
You can't wait,
cores.
Nick. You got work to film. 64. You got stuff to do. You can't. Guys, we gotta stop what we're doing at Starbase. We gotta wait until Nick gets his thing. Wake up. Grow up.
Yeah. Fine, I'll grow up.
I say get both.
Get Randy's old 12-inch MacBook Air. That's what I just heard you say. Speaking
I'm
of Randy, what
it.
Are you doing with your 12-inch MacBook Air?
I'm trying to sell it.
13-inch MacBook Air.
I'm trying to sell it. Do you want
how
it?
How much and where?
What's the listing price?
I haven't got that far yet. For you?
Nick, do you need an iMac Pro?
Hey, let me hear the prices first, Drew. Hey,
come on.
Hey. I promise mine's going to be cheaper, Nick. Hey, Drew.
Mine's going to be faster.
No, it's not. Well, yeah, it will be. But it doesn't matter. Well, remember minimalism and elegant design?
Spit out the number, Randy.
This is pretty minimal.
Do you want it for $900?
No. Not 800. For $900, sorry.
Okay.
He goes 800. Down quickly.
I went down pretty quick.
800? How many terabytes?
Half.
No, no.
0.5?
No.
Hey!
I was going to say, Black Friday was offering some MacBook Airs.
It's barely used, and it's beautiful.
Well, it was used by Randy Vasquez, though, so that does up the value.
I paid.
Tell you what, you pay $800 for this, and you'll get every Logic Project file that's on here included, so you might get some exclusive stuff.
Ooh.
Take that for NFTs and all that other stuff, Drew.
How can you afford to not buy that?
I don't know. Can't. He makes so much money selling his music elsewhere.
I paid $6,000 for mine. Okay. And I'll sell it to you for $2,000.
No.
No. It's not
what about, a drop in price.
Doesn't matter.
I'm willing to go way further.
It's still
down
four
than
digits,
Randy.
Drew. It's still four digits. However, for $800.
Mine has 2 terabytes though.
Yeah, but it's also 2017? Yeah, no way. That's too old.
Yeah, but it was.
All right, I'm going to be Patrick for a second and tell you guys my actual budget. I have
$300. Oh, $300? I'll tell you what you
can
do with those $300.
What can you do in that price range?
I'll tell you where you could shove it if you're trying to buy this for $300.
I'll sell you my mouse for
$300. Ooh, now that's a good
deal. In fact, you owe me $300 for wasting my time.
They don't make this anymore.
Ooh. They don't?
You couldn't.
Unfortunately.
The black one? Oh, yeah, they got rid of that, huh?
No, it's gone.
Hey, Nick, I'll tell you.
They're going to come back with a new Magic Mouse with Space Gray with the new iMac Pro that looks exactly the same, but it'll have the new badging.
For $300, Nick, I will sell you my black Apple stickers.
No.
Oh, that's right. I have stickers. Where are they?
Don't worry about
see,
it, Drew. No.
See,
no.
I just specced out a MacBook Pro, the MacBook Pro I would get if I had to get one of these ugly computers.
Mm-hmm. What? Is that
it's
a good
much.
Sigh?
It's too much. It's the very bad sigh. I'm putting it in my cart so I can add the taxes because I know that's going to be significant. Yeah. $4,900.
Wait, what did you spec it to?
It's the maxed out Max
M1
chip.
Max.
16 inch because the battery life and the fans and the max mode or whatever. 4 terabytes, obviously.
Maximum overdrive.
Because footage.
Did you switch it to Wombo?
Sounds like everyone is like religiously against 8 terabytes. Like
I would love to get 8 terabytes, but every time I click the option and I see another $1,200 get added to it, I'm like, I could go buy another M1 Mac for this much money.
That's true, but it's an M1.
Somebody screenshot this.
That's great. I got it.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait.
Yeah,
hold on.
I think
turn.
You should.
Wait, where are you at? There you are.
It's not funny anymore.
No.
It's only funny when you do it. But I think if I'm talking off the air, obviously, because no one's listening.
Yeah, no one listens this far in the show.
Nick, you should. If you don't need it to be a laptop, a desktop is just going to age so much better. Yeah. And if you're genuinely that interested in the Mac Pro, I actually think it might be worth waiting for, just because I'm not sure what the starting price will be, but it will definitely be faster than the laptop, and we
and
should know
about it. If it doesn't come with that screen, then like... Mm. Okay, Drew, when you were editing the Komodo footage, did you put that onto your internal SSD and then edit off that?
Yeah.
How long did that transfer take? The 100-something gigs.
I don't know. I kind of got distracted when we were importing.
Okay.
I didn't check the ETA, but it's limited by however fast the CFast card reader is. It's probably the maximum speed because I'm using a Thunderbolt adapter through my Thunderbolt port. So whatever the max speed of a CFast card is, I'm sure that's what it was.
Okay. Cool.
But
if I'm talking
Mac
off
Pro
air, Nick,
rolled,
I think you should get a stopgap the way I got a stopgap because you do got work to do for a year.
I already have a stopgap.
Is it good enough for the camera?
I don't
you
know.
Have?
We'll have to finish building the camera.
How
and
big
then
is
we can
this
see.
Gap?
I'm really hoping that I can make it work. And I still have an M1 chip that sits at home all day long and does literally nothing. So it uploads
stuff.
That's
funny. That's when I said that when you were trying to tell me it does nothing.
Of course I use it. No, I do use it to upload stuff all day long, but it's not being used to its full potential. So, you know,
if
I could figure out a way to have that automate itself and, you know, be cooking all day long, then that'd be great too. Although it's a Mac Mini, so it wouldn't really make any noise. It would go.
Unless you can think of any use case of needing to export a bunch of stuff when you're away from home and being like out in the field.
Which, yeah, that is a good part of what I do. I would say. But thankfully, the Zcam that I have also does proxy files. So I can do a Rec 709 proxy and just upload. It's like 720p or something, which is fine for what we need. You know, and that's, yeah.
In that case, I would say Nick, being the hardcore Apple sheep he is, that was so loyal to Apple he didn't even like that they changed their mind on something.
Exactly, I'm so loyal to Apple.
You should get a Mac Pro.
Okay.
And just know, I have the fastest computer in the world. And you'll know nothing will beat it for years to come.
Hey, Elon, do you got a second? You know that Dojo computer that you guys have been working on? Yeah, I have the fastest computer in the world.
It renders real life, so, you know, whatever.
It's practically real life.
I would upgrade for instant exports. I'll throw that on the record.
What did you say?
You what?
If they come out with a... I'll upgrade for instant export.
Yeah.
If they come out with a MacBook where I hit Command E and it's done. I just... All right. Video completed. Already done. Okay. That's pretty fast.
Like 30 seconds?
But in...
No. Instant.
No,
not even 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Instant.
There's still a process of me having to wait. Whether I wait 9 minutes or 30 seconds... Who cares? As long as I can... I mean, with the EV videos at 1080p, those are already like a minute export or less sometimes. So I wouldn't spend a bunch of money just to take it from a minute to, you know, slightly less. I want instant. Or the iPad Mac combo thing. Just iPad Pro Max. I would buy that. I would spend a lot of money on it. I just want one device that can do everything.
Definitely.
But Apple hates me.
And it's your fault.
Oh, well.
They hate you, but they love your money.
That's true. They got a lot of my money this year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty, closing thoughts, gents?
So remember how I said I didn't want the new MacBook Pro?
You still don't want it.
I still don't want it.
But you need it.
Don't make me get it, guys.
The chip.
Closing thoughts. I think
I have a love-hate relationship with AirPods Max. Closing thoughts.
Love-hate relationship. My closing thoughts is I think unintentionally, this isn't as a challenge. I just think it's lined up that way. I don't think I'm going to be upgrading for a while on anything.
Me too.
I think I'm
sorry. I have a feeling.
It's funny that you, because what you said about the iPad, and I was like, oh, this thing's useless now. I look at it, I'm like, what are you doing? So, I don't have a need to really do anything. I just need to sell some stuff to recoup as much money as possible. I got Apple Care.
We're in damage control now.
Yeah, we're in damage control now. I got what I wanted. Now I need to recoup some losses here.
Now we need to sell as much crap as possible.
I'm going to keep this phone because I'm not spending any more money. I got Apple Care on it just because I actually intend on replacing the little scuffs that I got eventually and just kind of hold out.
I'm keeping my iPhone for a while too.
Yeah.
Years? Several years.
I can't say years. Maybe years, but I don't know. I don't know. But I'm set. I'm good. I feel good.
Yeah. I'm pretty dang happy with how it is, and nothing I can fathom would make me upgrade at this point.
Whatever was supposed to top 2018 did. 3 years later, I am a very content customer, so I think it's all services from here on out. Whatever, if they upgrade the iCloud storage stuff, you have my business, stuff like that. But outside of that, that's it.
Yeah. So, that's it. Alrighty, y'all. Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good week.